Never.
Never.
Bhajati.
Bhajati.
Accepts.
Accepts.
Humanishinam.
Humanishinam.
Of persons with a dirty heart.
Of persons with a dirty heart.
Saha.
Saha.
He.
He.
Ijam.
Ijam.
Offering.
Offering.
Harihi.
Harihi.
The Supreme Lord.
The Supreme Lord.
Adhana. To those who have no material possessions,
Atmadhana,
simply dependent on the Lord,
Priyaha,
who is dear,
Rasa Gyaha,
who accepts the essence of life, Shuta,
education,
Dhana, wealth,
Kula.
Aristocracy.
Karmanam.
And of fruitive activities.
Madai.
By pride.
Yea.
All those who.
Vididhati.
Perform.
Papam.
Disgrace. Akinchaneshu.
Without material possessions.
Satsu.
Unto the devotees.
Translation purport by His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada ki. The Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes very dear to those devotees who have no material possessions, but are fully happy in possessing the devotional service of the Lord. Indeed, the Lord relishes the devotional activities of such devotees. Those who are puffed up with material education, wealth, aristocracy, and fruitive activity are very proud of possessing material things, and they often deride, that means insult, the devotees. Even if such people offer the Lord worship, the Lord never accepts them. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is dependent on His pure devotees. He does not even accept the offerings of those who are not devotees. A pure devotee is one who feels he does not possess anything material. A devotee is always happy in possessing the devotional service of the Lord. Devotees may sometimes appear materially poor, but because they are spiritually advanced and enriched, they are most dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such devotees are free from attachment to family, society, friendship, children, and so on. They abandon affection for all these material possessions and are always happy in possessing the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. The Supreme Personality of Godhead understands the position of His devotee. If a person derides a pure devotee, he is never recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, the Supreme Lord never excuses one who offends a pure devotee. There are many examples of this in history. A great mystic yogi, Durvasa Muni, offended the great devotee, Ambarish Maharaj. The great sage Durvasa was to be chastised by the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord, even though the great mystic directly approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was never excused. Those on the path of liberation should be very careful not to offend a pure devotee. Om Agyanatirandasya Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshurun Viditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. This is one of the classic themes of Gaudiya Vaishnava theology, that the Lord is totally attached to His pure devotees. In Chaitanya Bhagavat by the great Vrindavan Das Thakur, is everyone familiar with this shastra? Chaitanya Bhagavat? Prabhupada had a close call, which to translate, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So finally he chose Chaitanya Charitamrita, although they're both super excellent to the highest extent. In fact, in the 8th chapter of Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita by the great Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he says, in glorification of Vrindavan Das Thakur, if anyone reads, this, even if a great atheist reads Chaitanya Bhagavat, he will immediately become a Vaishnava. Such is the power of Vrindavan Das Thakur. And it's also revealed in... Vrindavan Das takes a very humble position, but he does reveal at one point that his words are dictated by none other than Nityananda. This is the power of the Shastra. It's actually coming directly from either the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavad Gita, or by a pure devotee who sees the Lord in the core of his heart. Brahma Samhita describes that pure devotees are always seeing Shyam Sundara within the core of their heart. Premanjana Chita Bhakti Vilochanena Santasadeva Hideyeshi Vilokayanti Yam Shama Sundara Machinti Gunasvarupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Hridayeshu. Eshu is a Sanskrit declension. In English, you say to the man, for the man, with the man, by the man, or of the man. So in a language like English, you have another small word in front of, to, for, by, with. But in classical languages like Greek, Latin, and Sanskrit, these are all Indo-European languages. In classical languages, you put an ending, you change the ending. Hridayeshu, that means in the heart. So, and Latin and Greek and Russian are also like that. They have many declensions, which makes it difficult. English is a very simple language because it doesn't do that. So the pure devotee actually sees Shyam Sundara within the core of his heart because his heart is totally given to Krishna. When you fully surrender your life to Krishna, Krishna reciprocates. Actually, he finds nothing in his possession valuable enough to reciprocate with pure devotees. So he has to give himself. That's the best thing he has. He tells the gopis in the 10th canto, Na pariyeham, I am not able to repay you for your devotion. Simply your devotion, the pure devotional mentality of devotee is so captivating to Krishna that he finds nothing in his possession equal to it. Prabhupada says that in the purport for today. That Krishna is enchanted by the activities of his pure devotees. He's captivated by the activities of his pure devotees. There are so many examples. As I was mentioning Chaitanya Bhagavat, one day Lord Chaitanya came to the house of Srivas Thakur, the very exalted, who's none other than Narada Muni. Thakur means devotee on the highest level of realization. It's a very rare title. Nowadays in India, they use Thakur a little bit loosely. The Didi can be called Thakurji, or Kshatriyas also have a title, Thakur. But in the Prabhupada's books, Thakur means devotee on the highest level. So Lord Chaitanya came to the house of Srivas Thakur, and when he arrived, the Thakur was circumambulating Tulsi Devi and offering prayers. And when Lord Chaitanya just saw the devotion of Srivas, he went into ecstatic trance. This was after he returned from Gaya, being initiated by Ishvarapuri. Before Lord Chaitanya met Ishvarapuri, although he's the reservoir of all ecstatic Mahabhavis, Srimati Radharani. It's Krishna in the mood of Radhika, so essentially Radharani, who is the unequaled, unsurpassed epitome of ecstatic love of God. This is Srimati Radhika. But Lord Chaitanya was not exhibiting any devotion. He was acting as a scholar. In fact, he would challenge the devotees. He would challenge Murari Gupta. He'd say, Murari, tell me what liberation is. And Murari would give a very good definition. According to the Shastras, Lord Chaitanya would say, nah, it's all wrong, and he would cut it to pieces. He was so erudite. His erudition was unlimited. Of course, he's God. And then Murari would try to make some counter, and they would argue, and Lord Chaitanya would always defeat the devotees. And then Lord Chaitanya would say, you better study your books more and come back tomorrow, then we can talk. Or Gadadhar, he would corner Gadadhar on the street. Now, Gadadhar is actually Srimati Radharani. There's two Gadadhars. There's Gadadhar Pandit and Gadadhar Das. Gadadhar Pandit is actually Sri Radhika herself. Gadadhar Das is the jyoti, the effulgence of Sri Radhika. Both are of the highest inconceivable level. So, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in the mood of Radhika. That's the confidential reason why he came, to taste the ecstatic love of his pure devotees. Because, as Prabhupada was saying in the purport, Krishna is actually captured, he's captivated by that pure devotion. This is described in great detail in Adi Lila chapter 4, Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is entitled The Confidential Reasons for the Appearance of the Lord. So there it's described that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. At least He's widely advertised as the supreme enjoyer. But his devotees, the pure devotees of Vraj, which are the highest devotees of all, experience 10 million times more happiness. A quantitative figure is given there, a number, 10 million. Adi Lila, chapter 4, Chaitanya Charitamrita. The pure devotees are relishing more pleasure than God himself. So Krishna, being the ultimate connoisseur, the connoisseur means the one who wants to taste rasa. He's rasaraj. Krishna is rasaraj. So he lives by tasting rasa. That's his whole existence. So he said, now I perceive that there are persons tasting more than me, 10 million times more, so I want to taste that. And my mind is racing. Krishna's Karaj Goswami says, Adi Lila Chapter, that Krishna's mind is racing. He's running after it. But how can I do it? I cannot do it in the position of the Supreme. I have to take the role of a devotee. So that's the reason he comes, to taste the love, specifically the love of Sri Radhika. Because she actually conquers him. She controls him. All the other residents of Raj, they know that Radharani is the greatest. So they're always trying to serve Sri Radhika. Even those who appear to be in opposing groups, like Chandravali, are actually enhancing the Leelas. Or Jatila, she enhances, even though it seems like she's interfering, that element of risk is required for Parakiya. There couldn't be Parakiya Bhav. Does everyone know the term Parakiya Bhav? Madhurya Ras. Everyone's familiar with the term Madhurya? Madhurya Ras has two divisions. One is Svakiya, that's formerly married wives in Dwarka, of which there are 16,108 in Dwarka, headed by Rukmini and Satyabhama. Rukmini is actually Chandravali, and Satyabhama is Sri Radhika. So, is this okay? Maybe this is getting a little bit... Is this your first time here?
Yeah.
Very first time?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I don't know what to do because there are persons who are very elevated in Shastric knowledge and devotion. These two devotees. Yes. Yes, yes, okay. So there are persons who are extremely elevated in knowledge and devotion, and there are others who are just beginning. So I'll take a step back. This is actually the very first time you've come to
it. So my parents are visiting Boston, they're from India, and I'm studying over here, so this is the first temple we visited in Boston.
Each one of us, living entities, are inherently non-physical. Consciousness is not a production of the neuronal activity of the physical brain. In Western biology, everything is reduced. If the paradigm is reductionism, and all of your emotions and your desires, your longing, your most heartfelt longing is nothing more than action potentials moving along the axons of neurons of the brain, according to Western biology. But according to Vedic, we are presenting what's called Vedic epistemology, the Vedas. According to the Vedas, your thinking, your feeling, your loving, your desires, your longings, your hankerings, these are all these are a product of something entirely non-physical, which is called the Atma. The Atma belongs to a transcendental realm. Each one of us is an individual Atma. So the Atmas are quantized into units called Jiva Atmas. There's another all-pervasive, like electrons and electromagnetic field. Electrons are you a technical kind of person?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll go physics style. So electromagnetic energy has individual quantized units of charge on electrons and protons, but there are also pervasive fields of electromagnetic energy described by Maxwell's four partial differential equations. So similarly, in spiritual knowledge, we have quantized units of consciousness called jiva atmas. Jiva means life, actually. Lokana, lokara, jivana. Actually, jiva, we sing it wrong for the... It's Lokanath Lokara Jivana. Jivana means jiva means life. What we're singing actually, if you say jiva, that means tongue. So that's a minor correction when we're singing the Guru Puja. So we are called jivatmas. We are individual units of consciousness. We don't belong in the material world. We're here because we became envious of God. We didn't want to serve God. The natural position of the jiva is to serve the Paramatma, the all-pervasive soul, is Param. Param means supreme in Sanskrit. So there's two kinds of Atma, the localized individual jivatmas, and the all-pervasive supreme Param Atma. The business of the jivatma is to serve the Paramatma. That's, we originally existed in the transcendental kingdom of God, which is described in great detail in Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita is the introduction. And the next stage is Srimad Bhagavatam. And even beyond Srimad Bhagavatam, there are books by great acharyas. Sanatana Goswami's Brihat Bhagavatamrita describes that Vaikuntha is divided into a number of divisions. You've heard the term Vaikuntha? Literally, that means without anxiety. Kunta means anxiety. It's the place where there's no anxiety. Here we have tons of anxiety because this material world is designed to punish the jivas who don't want to surrender to Krishna. The business of Durga. Durga means tough going. Dur, English durable. If you study Indo-European languages, you can see a connection. English actually comes from Sanskrit. Sri Sri Radha Gopi Vallabhaki. So, there in Sanskrit you have words like Durbhaga, which means misfortune, or Duratma, bad person, Duskritina, bad actor. So, Dur can mean bad or it can mean tough, like in English, tough or durable. That's how you can remember. If you use your intelligence, you can easily learn Sanskrit because it's very similar to. They're cognate words. There's linguistic rules of evolution whereby languages evolve. Sanskrit is the original Indo-European language. Russian is extremely close, like Chaturi Vid. Every morning we sing Chatur Vidha Shri Bhagavat Pasada. Chatur means four. In English, in Italian it's quattro, and in English quarter. So it got turned around when it got to English. One over four, quarter. But in Sanskrit, Chatur Vidha, in Russian is so close, Chatiri Vid, four kinds. Chatiri Vid. So languages evolve as they move from India to the West. The modern scholars have the wrong, they have the Aryan invasion theory of going backwards. Anyway, I don't want to get too far off the points we're trying to, but it's so exciting, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So, the business of the individual jivatma, that's us, is to serve the Paramatma. That's what Bhagavad Gita. If everyone's, I'm sure you've read Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's saying again and again, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhujin Mam Namaskaru. Twice he says this, 934, 1865. So he repeats, Krishna repeats himself. The key point of Bhagavad Gita is always think of me. Arjuna didn't want to fight, so the message of Bhagavad Gita is the highest principle is to sacrifice your personal interest for Krishna's interest. And when you're purified, your personal interest is identical with Krishna. When you're not purified, your personal interest is something other than Krishna's interest. At first it sounds horrible. I should surrender totally to the Supreme. That's the conclusion. Sarva dharman pritjaja mamikam sharanam vaja. The conclusion of Bhagavad Gita is that the individual soul should give up, abandon all dharmas. What to speak of adharmic activities? Modern society runs on adharma. But in classical Varnashram Vedic society, everyone was doing their dharma. Even Jarasandha was doing his dharma. even the rascal kshatriyas were doing, they were very pious. Jarasandha was giving so much charity. So Krishna gives the message, sarva dharma. Sarva means all. Dharma means what you think your duty is. Sarva dharma pari. Pari means all around. English perimeter comes from Greek peri, from Sanskrit pari. So sarva dharma pari. Pari means all around. Tyag means to renounce or give up. Sarva dharma pritjaja means abandon all these so-called, like we think I should become an electrical engineer. I should become a computer scientist. Is that what Krishna thinks? No. Well, actually, Krishna's really cool. He never condemns. Christianity has a condemning kind of attitude, a mood to it. It doesn't have to be, but modern Christians. Jesus taught a very pure and beautiful message. But modern Christians, they present God as judgmental and condemnatory. If you don't do this, you're going to hell. But Krishna is very relaxed and cool. Krishna says, if you don't surrender, you just have to rot in remain in the material world. That's okay. If you like having a material body, that's cool. Krishna is really cool and relaxed. If you don't want to surrender, no problem. The whole material world is your field for enjoyment. Good luck. If we're intelligent, we'll understand, look at how the material energy is set up. If you analyze the pattern of veins in your arm, or the appendix, or everything about this body, it's not designed for enjoyment. The materialists and many Christians think that God gave us this world to be enjoyed. In that case, God would be a moron. Because look, or he must be incompetent. If the material world is designed for enjoyment, who would design it? Thank you very much. Please come again.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
There's also prasadam.
Yeah.
So, you see, Krishna consciousness for intelligent people. Prabhupada equates in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in the purport, he says, Bhakti Yoga is Buddhi Yoga. Buddhi means intelligence. So by intelligence, we understand the material is not designed for our enjoyment. It's designed for our purification and our reformation. So what happens when you're reformed? Then you want to enter into one of the five rasas with Krishna. And Madhurya Ras has two subdivisions, Svakya and Parakya. Svakya, Sva means one's own in Sanskrit. Sva, your own. Svakya means formally married, like Rukmini and Satyabhama, and there are other queens, 16,108 queens. The great acharyas tell us that Rukmini is actually an expansion of Chandravali. You see, in Vrajalila, Srimati Radhika is the highest, and then in Dvarkalila, it becomes inverted. Satyabhama plays a lesser role. It's very interesting how Krishna does this arrangement. But in either case, Krishna is actually captivated by the love of his pure devotees. Especially if you read Brihat Bhagavatamrita, it's very clearly described the different levels that you go up. Vaikuntha is totally spiritual, totally free from material triguna, and totally, actually, it's filled with unprecedented happiness. Third canon, chapter 15 of Bhagavatam says that when the four Kumaras came to Vaikuntha, they experienced unprecedented happiness. That's, I don't know, do you know this English word, unprecedented? That means never experienced before. So they were just by being in Vaikuntha, you're overwhelmed with ecstasy, satchit ananda, you're just by in the environment of ananda. So everyone is actually overwhelmed by ecstasy. But there's something higher, amazingly enough. I mean, many people don't know that. In South India, many people think worshippers of Lakshmi Narayan, they think that's it. That's the highest thing. But Brihad Bhagavatrita describes that above Vaikuntha is Ayodhya Dham. Have you heard of Ayodhya?
I've heard of different, but please keep
Ayodhya.
The names. I don't retain the names, but okay. The concept.
Ayodhya is the Dham of Sri Ramchandra. There was one devotee, Murari Gupta. He was a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. He was actually Hanuman himself. And he's so pure. One day Lord Chaitanya came to Murari Gupta and said, my dear Murari, worship Vrajendra Kumar. Everyone knows the term Vrajendra Kumar? Kumar means the child. Endra is the king of Raj, so it's the son of Nandamaraj. Please worship Vrajendra Kumar, Krishna. Krishna's pastimes are the sweet. So Lord Chaitanya went on and on, trying to convince Maragupta. Maragupta was a pure devotee. He said, yes, whatever you say, I shall do. So he went home the whole night. He didn't sleep. In the highest stage of ecstatic love of God, sleep is optional. We have a ways to go. So Maragupta, being a totally pure, spotless, Amala Bhakta, Amala means totally pure, devotee of the Lord. Murari Gupta stayed awake all night. He said, I must give up the feet of Ramchandra. I've been ordered by the Lord. So he tried, I will not think of Ram, I must think of Krishna. He cried the whole night, Murari Gupta. In the morning he came to Lord Chaitanya. With tears in his eyes, he fell at the feet of Gaurachandra, the moonlight Gauranga. He grabbed hold of the feet of Lord Chaitanya and said, let me die. I can't carry out your order. For a devotee, the life and soul of the devotee is to serve the Lord. I cannot carry out your order. I cannot switch my allegiance from Ramchandra to Krishna. You have ordered, you're my Lord, but I cannot do it. My heart, even if I think of abandoning the feet of Ramchandra, I feel like dying. And Lord Chaitanya was so pleased, he embraced Murugupta and raised him up. He raised Murugupta, embraced him, and said, You're a pure devotee of Ram. I just tested you. I wanted to test your pure devotion. And you have passed the test. Even under my order, you could not switch your allegiance from Ram to Krishna. And then he said, and then he revealed, Lord Chaitanya has a way of revealing. So he says, you're actually Hanuman, the greatest servitor of Ram. And you just go on being your pure devotee of Ram. I'm totally pleased with your devotion. And Lord Chaitanya said to all the devotees, oh my devotees, please listen. Anyone who offends Murari will not be purified by hundreds of baths in the Ganga or millions of repetitions of the name of Hari, which is normally all purifying. Bathing in the Ganga and chanting the whole name will purify anyone, the lowest sinner, but not the Vaishnava Aparadi. Anyone who offends Murari Gupta, he can never receive my favor. Just as Prabhupada was saying in the purport today, the offenders of Vaishnavas are never treated leniently by the Lord. We know also in the case of Srivas Thakur, there was one envious Brahmin, Gopal Chapala. And in the house of Srivas, there were ecstatic kirtans. They were going all night. One time, Lord Chaitanya came to all the devotees and said, what is this sleeping at night? What waste? What kind of a waste is this? And these are all Nichasiddha. We should understand, Narottam Das Thakur informs us, all the associates of Gauranga are Nichasiddha. They're actually transplanted gopas and gopis from Vrajdham. They come to assist Lord Gaura and his leela. So when Lord Gauranga expressed his desire for all-night kirtan, then the devotees said, yes, what is the sleep? It's a waste of time. So they just chanted all night in total ecstasy. This is actually revealing the unlimited spiritual energy right there in Navadvipa. Lord Chaitanya would go into ecstatic trance. He would leap high into the air and he would crash down on the ground. Everyone was afraid that his bones would break. Of course, he's totally transcendental. Because the whole earth would tremble. It said in Bengali, Bhumi Kampa. Kampa means quaking. Romancha Kampa Shri Taranga Vaja. We sing every morning, Romancha Kampa Ashru Taranga Vaja, in glorification of the spiritual master. So Kampa means quaking. Romancha means hair standing on end. Ashru means tears falling like rivers. So Lord Chaitanya actually exhibited these transcendental features. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the great Rupa Goswami says there are Ashta, Satvika, Vikara. Vikara means transformation. Satvika means of devotees. And Ashta means eight. There are eight standard symptoms of pure devotees. Roma, Ancha, hair standing on end. Kampa means shake, quivering in ecstasy, trembling in ecstasy. Romancha Kampa, Ashru means tears. Taranga means waves. Romancha Kampa, Ashru, Taranga, Bhajo. So Lord Chaitanya exhibited all these, but he took it to a level even beyond the Ashta Sattvika Vikara. The transformations that Lord Chaitanya exhibited were never experienced on this planet. Because actually Lord Chaitanya only comes once every 8.64 billion years. The day of Brahma is 4.32 billion. The night is 4.32 billion. Nothing happens during the night. During the day there's 14 manvantaras. This is described in Bhagavatam. 14 manvantaras, each of which is about 308 million years. The total is, so you have 14 times 308 million comes out to 4.32 billion. So Lord Chaitanya only comes in one Kali Yuga out of 1,000. There's 1,000 Divya Yuga cycles in a day of Brahma. So the Divya Yuga cycle is 4.32 million. That's the four ages. Kali Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Satya Yuga. That adds up to 4.32 million. And there's 1,000 of them in every day of Brahma. So Lord Chaitanya and Krishna come only once in a day of Brahma. So once every 8.64 billion years, Lord Chaitanya breaks all the rules. He dances down the street and embraces mleches and yavanas and gives them not only pure love of God, he gives them Vraj Bhav, the ecstatic love of the residents of Vraj. This is described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Lord Chaitanya told Nityananda, I have vowed to make every wretched fallen fool float in the ocean of ecstatic love of God. He told Nityananda, go back to Bengal. They started, of course, in Navadvip, Leela. But then he had to go to Jagannath Puri because his mother requested him to go. So when he went to Jagannath Puri, they were having huge kirtans, and no one wanted to leave. All the devotees just wanted to stay with Lord Chaitanya. So he had to order them to go back to their Prabhu Datta Desh. You heard this term? That means the place given by the spiritual master for your seva, for your service. So Prabhu Datta Desh, he sent them back, and Lord Nityananda was given Bengal as his place of preaching. But Lord Nityananda he's prema unmata, he's intoxicated with the sweetness of his love for Krishna. Nityananda is overwhelmed with ecstasy. He's a madman in ecstatic love. So when he started back to Bengal, he kept getting lost because they were oblivious of the road. They were oblivious of their own body. For 3 months, no one ate anything. I always give a reference. Whenever I make an outrageous statement, I support it with Shastra. Vrindavan Das Thakur in Chaitanya Bhagavat, which is an authorized scripture. Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat are the two most prominent authorized works on the life of Lord Chaitanya. So the great Vrindavan Das Thakur tells us for 3 months, Nityananda and his associates, who are cowherd boys actually, the associates of Nityananda are generally in Sakyaras. They're cowherd boys. And the associates of Gauranga are in Madhuryaras. They're mainly gopis. So the associates of Nityananda, they were wild. Lord Nityananda would just glance with his eyes. He would inject people with ecstatic love. And one of the devotees, Abhiram Thakur, he had a whip called the Jai Mangal. He would playfully whip someone, and anyone who was whipped with that, touched with the Jai Mangal, would get ecstatic love of God. If you just happened to show up anywhere in the kirtan, you would get ecstatic love of God, because Nityananda and his associates were just handing freely on the street to everyone, the murderers and thieves. There were some thieves who tried to rob Nityananda. I'm getting a little bit off. That's another whole class. It's the thief Leela from Antya. Antya Leela of Antikanda, Chaitanya Bhagavat. So Nityananda was ordered to go to Bengal, and he and his associates, they walked along the road, but they kept getting lost because they were not even aware of their own bodies, what to speak of the road. Right in the middle of the road, Ramdas, Abhiram Thakur, he would go into a threefold bending form, just meditating on Shyam Sundar. He would go into a threefold bending form, like Krishna, playing a flute, and for 9 hours he would just be frozen in that position in the middle of the road while they have a roaring kirtan. Devotees were roaring like lions. Devotees were jumping up into trees, and they were jumping out onto the fragile branches of the little twigs which cannot support a human's weight, but they had all kinds of mystic powers. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains in Chaitanya Bhagavat, the associates of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, they were empowered. They had unlimited mystic powers. They didn't need to eat. For 3 months, no one ate anything. They could dance out into the fragile branches of trees, and they would not fall down. They would just dance in ecstasy. It's actually inconceivable. It only happens once every 8.64 billion years that this kind of mad, ecstatic love is unleashed in the material world. Not even supposed to be seen in the material world. So when they finally got there, Nityananda and his associates finally got to the house of Raghava Pandit. Raghava Pandit, these are all gopis actually. Raghava Pandit and his sister. What was her name? Damayanti. Damayanti. Raghava Pandit and Damayanti, they are actually gopis. They would cook for Krishna in Vraj Dham. So when they appeared, Raghava Pandit was in ecstasy and he was just crying and falling in the feet of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda said, feed my associates. So he cooked a huge feast. They had a huge kirtan. It's Lord Nityananda's preaching was very simple. He would just have a big kirtan and inject everyone with ecstatic love of God. He hardly even needed to say a word. Because he's God himself, he had so much spiritual, unlimited spiritual potency that just by looking at someone, just by his glance, he could inject ecstatic love into their heart. So the Lord is always captivated by his pure devotees, conquered by his pure devotees. And Mother Sachi is, Prabhupada says she's an expansion of Mother Yashoda. Her devotion was unlimited. When Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, he had to leave his mother. He left his wife, who was only 16, his second wife, Vishnu Priya. First wife was Lakshmi Priya. So Vishnu Priya, she was only 16. Lord had just gotten married. But he had to take sannyas to spread the mission. See, there's the external and internal aspects of his lila. So he took sannyas, and Mother Sachi, the day that he left, she was just crying. She went into Vipralamba. And she began feeling like Mother Yashoda. She began asking anyone who came by, she would say, "What is the news from Mathura? How are Krishna and Balaram doing in Mathura? I hope that wicked King Kansa has finally been killed." Mother Sachi would just be meditating in ecstasy. She would be fasting and meditating. It's just inconceivable, actually. So I'd like to read something from chapter 15 of Chaitanya Charitamrita about how much Lord Chaitanya reciprocates with his devotees. Because Prabhupada was mentioning in the purport how much the Lord is captivated by the devotional activities of pure devotees. So this is Madhya chapter 15. Sri Chaitanya ordered Nityananda, "Go to Bengal and without restriction manifest devotional service to the Lord, Krishna consciousness." Nityananda Prabhu was given assistants like Ramdas, Gadadhar Das. "I shall also go with you at intervals. Keeping myself invisible, I shall watch you dance." Lord Chaitanya would assume the form of a tree while there was a roaring kirtan. He would assume the form. And Nityananda could see him, but no one else could understand that Lord Chaitanya was actually there. Because Lord Chaitanya is captivated. Wherever Nityananda is dancing, Lord Chaitanya may be 500 miles south in Jagannath Puri, 500 miles south of Bengal. But wherever Nityananda Prabhu is dancing, Lord Chaitanya would come to watch because he's controlled. Usually Krishna is called Ajita. You know the term Ajita? That means unconquerable. Jita means conquered. Ajita is unconquerable. But Lord Brahma says in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto that he is conquered. He becomes conquered, Jita, by pure devotional love. This is the power. Even though the Jivatma is 1/10,000th the tip of it, how you say this? Kshata?
Kesha Agra Shatanagasya.
Yes. Kesha Agra. Agra means tip. Okay, Kesha Agra means tip of a hair.
Shata Shata Bhagasya. So you make
100. 100 times 100 divisions. Bhagasya means divided into. If you divide a hair, the tip of a hair, into 100 parts, and each one of those parts you divide another 100 times, then you have the dimension of the spirit soul, the Jivatma, which is 1/10,000th the tip of a hair. So that we're very small. Obviously, we're very weak. We can't keep our body from getting old. We're totally controlled by the material energy. We're very weak and insignificant. And the Supreme Lord is unlimited. He's Vibhu. We're Anu, and he is Vibhu. Vibhu means unlimitedly powerful. But that individual Jivatma, although very small, has a potency invested within it that's so powerful, the power of bhakti, that it controls the unlimited Supreme Godhead. And now we shall see how the Lord is conquered by his pure devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I have given up the service of my mother and accepted the sannyas order. Actually, I should not have done this, for by so doing, I have destroyed my religious principles. I am subordinate to the love of my mother, and it is my duty to serve her in return. Instead of doing so, I have accepted this renounced order. Certainly this is the act of a madman. A mother is not offended by her mad son. And knowing this, my mother is not offended by me. I had no business in accepting the renounced order and sacrificing my love for my mother, which is my real property. Actually, I was in a crazy state of mind when I accepted sannyas. The Lord is so humble, he never acknowledges being overwhelmed by ecstatic. He never acknowledges being God or even just being a great Vaishnava. He doesn't acknowledge either. He just said, I'm crazy. Pagal. I'm Pagal Baba. Crazy man. I had no business in accepting the renounced order and sacrificing my love for my mother, which is my real property. Actually, I was in a crazy state of mind when I accepted sannyas. I am staying here at Jagannath Puri, Nilachala, to comply with her orders. However, at intervals, I shall go and see her lotus feet. Indeed, I go every day to see her lotus feet. She is able to feel my presence, but she does not believe it to be true. The Agreda Acharyas inform us, like Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, they inform us that Vipralamba Seva, that means ecstatic feelings of love of Krishna and separation. In Vipralamba Seva, Krishna actually comes. He comes, like when he's in Dvarka, he comes every day to be with Radhika and perform pastimes with Srimati Radhika and the gopis. He comes every day to Vrindavan. But the residents of Raj experience it as a dream. They don't actually feel it's true, so they chastise Krishna. When Krishna comes back finally, Sri Radhika chastises him severely for torturing the residents of Raj with intense, the flames of separation. So similarly, Mother Sachi, she's Mother Yashoda, so she's feeling intense feelings of separation, but actually the Lord cannot stay away from the spirit world. He always comes. But still when he comes, they interpret it. In Vipralamba Bhav, they interpret the Lord's visit as a dream. So here that's being described. Lord Chaitanya says, indeed, I go there every day to see her lotus feet. She is able to feel my presence, although she does not believe it to be true. In fact, Vipralamba is said to be the highest pleasure. It's even more intense than meeting Sambhog. One day my mother, Sachi, offered food to Shalagram Vishnu. She offered rice cooked with shali patties, various kinds of vegetables, spinach, curry made of banana flowers, fried patola with nimba leaves, pieces of ginger with lemon, and also yogurt, milk, sugar candy, and many other foods. Taking the food upon her lap, Mother Sachi began to cry, thinking that all this food was very dear to her Nimai. Nimai is a name for Lord Chaitanya when he was young. Nimai Pandit. The word Shri Krishna Chaitanya was given by Keshava Bharati, the sannyas guru of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you have a Diksha guru and you have a sannyas guru. Two different gurus. Lord Chaitanya's Diksha guru was Ishwarapuri. Lord Chaitanya's sannyas guru was Keshava Bharati, who is, believe it or not, in the Shankara Sampradaya. He was a secret agent. He's a great Vaishnava. This is all a preaching strategy. So he was in the Shankara Mayavad Sampradaya. Technically speaking, Lord Chaitanya is a Mayavadi sannyasi. When he would meet great devotees, Lord Chaitanya would say, I'm just a Mayavadi sannyasi. He would tell Ramananda Roy, Majalila chapter 8, I'm just a Mayavadi sannyasi, but by associating with you, you're a pure devotee, Vishaka. By associating with you, I'm actually feeling love for Krishna. Lord Chaitanya was so humble, he would present himself as a Mayavadi sannyasi, even though he's the reservoir of Mahabhava, ecstatic love. So, Mother Sachi, she cooks every day. She cooks a huge feast, and then she starts crying in intense love. Where is my little Nimai, Lord Chaitanya? Who will eat all this food? Mother was crying, thinking the food was very dear to Nimai. Nimai is not here. Who will accept all this food? As she meditated upon me in this way, her eyes filled with tears. While she was thinking and crying, I immediately went there in great haste and ate everything by mystic power, because he's 500 miles south in Jagannath Puri, 500 miles south of Mother Sachi. She's in Navadvip. The Lord is so conquered, so enchanted by the love of his pure devotees. Whenever a pure devotee, a totally pure devotee, cries out for his presence, he comes immediately there. So he came and ate all the food. Seeing the dish empty, she was astonished. Because she puts, now that you put it on the altar, imagine you know, it's all gone. What to do? I mean, this is very strange. She began to think, why is the plate empty? Doubting that Bal Gopal ate it all, her deity. Then she was wondering, maybe some animal came and ate it. She thought, perhaps a mistake, I didn't put anything on the plate in the first place. So she went back in the kitchen, made another offering, put it on the... And then again, every time she would offer, Lord Chaitanya would come and eat. And she was in ecstasy, because it's a magical thing when the Lord takes away the offering. Also with other devotees, Raghava Pandit. And who's the son of Mukunda? That great devotee?
The small boy.
Yeah.
Who cried.
He would say, eat, eat. He was the son of Mukunda. It'll come to me. See, these devotees, these are not ordinary devotees. These devotees are, when you're totally pure, the deity reciprocates with you in a personal fashion. The deity always reciprocates with you. If you're neophyte, but sincere, the deity inspires you in the heart to help increase your devotion. If you're non-devotee, then you just see him as a brass or wood or stone. Krishna totally reciprocates appropriately with everyone. If you're a spotlessly pure devotee, then Krishna will move and dance. You can see Krishna dancing. So there's another great devotee of Lord Chaitanya named Mukunda, and he had a son. Actually, it's here a little bit later in the book.
His son.
The name of the son. Anyway, it'll come to me. So Mukunda had to go away on a business trip. So he told his son, now you offer every day something to the deity, and the deity will eat. And the son said, yes, yes, father, I will do. So he made it. He was a little boy, but he's totally pure devotee, like Prahlad Mar. So he went on the altar, and he said, now please eat, O Lord, eat. And the food was still there, so he was crying, I beg you, eat. I'm very fallen, but my father said you have to eat, otherwise he'll be angry. So eat. He cried out to the deity, eat, eat. And all of a sudden the deity just ate everything off the plate. So when Mukunda came back, then the little boy was bringing a plate off the altar and there was nothing on it. So Mukunda said, I told you to make an offering. You're supposed to... And the son said, yes, I made an offering. But then Mukunda said, but then when you bring it off, there's the Mahaprasad. I don't know anything about these technical details. I just asked the deity to eat. So Mukunda said, all right, do it again. I want to see. So the son went and he made another plate and put it on the altar, and Mukunda was hearing him crying with pure devotion, his son, crying out with pure devotion. Eat, eat, and then Mukunda looked through the curtains and saw the deity actually ate everything. So that's the, we should strive to become purified, to reach these higher stages of devotion, then you can interact directly with the deity. There are many stories that I won't get off, there's so many, Sakshi Gopal in Majjhada chapter 5. There's so many wonderful pastimes which are very instructive, which we can get into. So Mother Sachi is also on the topmost level of pure devotion. So Lord Chaitanya came and just ate everything off the plate. Now she's trying to figure out why the plate is empty. Actually, she knows internally, because as I'm explaining, that the devotee knows internally, but externally somehow he feels it's just a dream. Now whenever Mother Sachi prepares some good cooked food and wants to feed it to me, she cries in great anxiety. In her pure devotion, she cries out in great anxiety. Being obliged by her love, I am brought there to eat. Mother knows all these things internally and feels happiness, but externally she does not accept them. Such an incident took place on the last Vijaya Dashami day. You can ask her about this incident, thus make her believe that I actually go there. While describing all this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a little overwhelmed. The Lord is overwhelmed, enchanted by the pure mood of his pure devotees. While describing all this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a little overwhelmed, but just to finish bidding farewell to his devotees, he remained patient. He has to restrain himself. See, the Sahajiyas are eager to make a cheap display of devotion. You know what a Sahaji is? They have very little or zero devotion, but they want to show it off as much as possible. But real devotees, they try to hold it in. Like Prabhupada in Los Angeles one time, he went into ecstasy. He was chanting Jai Radhama and tears started pouring out of his eyes and he couldn't even speak. The devotees were stunned. They were all new devotees, like 1968, very early. When Prabhupada saw 100, you know, brand new Americans, you know, to turn Westerners was said to be impossible. Actually, all the devotees in India said it's impossible. Forget it. You can't even do it. Westerners are too crazy. So Prabhupada, when Prabhupada saw these Westerners, and who not only became devotees, but totally surrendered devotees, they were willing to do anything to please Prabhupada. Prabhupada would sit in front of a globe. He would spin the globe and he'd say, Brahmananda, do you want to go to China or Russia? Prabhupada says, I'm only 1 year in the movement. I just want to be with you, Prabhupada. I don't want to go to China or Russia. Where do you want to go? China or Russia? Prabhupada he was like a lion. He would send forth his soldiers all over the planet, brand new devotees. They knew much less than you know about the philosophy. He would send them to a new continent with no money. And they succeeded. He sent Bali Mardana all the way to Australia with no money. And in a few years, Australia was challenging all the temples in America. They were defeating in book distribution. But this is the power of a pure Vaishnava. That's why Lord Chaitanya is conquered by the love of his pure devotees. Krishna, conquered by the love of his pure devotees. Another example is Vidura. You know, you've heard the name Vidura? So in Mahabharata, Krishna came as Shantidut. That means peace messenger. He wanted a last... They tried so many times to make peace, the Kauravas and the Pandavas. You know a little bit about this? So the final attempt, Krishna came to the court of the Kauravas to offer peace. Krishna was so humble. He was acting as the servant of Yudhisthira. It's incredible. Again, Krishna is conquered by the love of Yudhisthira, pure devotee. Yudhisthira wanted to make peace. Yudhisthira was so pure, even though his wife was insulted, Draupadi was stripped naked in the assembly of the Kauravas. Krishna's captive. She raised both arms and said, Hey, Govinda! And Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada says, Krishna is conquered by that, just by her calling out. Hey, Govinda, Krishna came from Dwarka, 1,000 miles, to Hastinapur, and created an unlimited length of sari. And although Dushasana was pulling and pulling, you know this, he couldn't disrobe her. He's a powerful kshatriya. How can he not take off the sari of a little lady? It's physically impossible that she could remain. But Krishna is beyond all laws of physics. Krishna is the controller of everything. And he's controlled by his pure devotees. So, again, Yudhisthira, he's so pure-hearted. Although his wife was insulted, he was cheated in the gambling. You know about the gambling match. He was cheated, robbed, and he was. Yudhisthira was, after all that, he was bowing down to Dhritarashtra and his elders, Bhishma and Dhritarashtra, Vidura, Dronacharya, and said, I accept your order. I will go into exile. They went into exile for 13 years in the forest. And last year they had to live in the court of Maharaj Virata. Arjuna, the great conqueror, the scourge of his enemies, had to be a eunuch for 1 year. This is how pure the Pandavas. Whatever Krishna wants, we'll do anything. So Krishna, because of their pure devotion, Bhima had to work in the kitchen. And then when that rascal Kichaka, he tried to violate Draupadi, Bhima was just like, he was, smoke was coming out of his ears. And that night, Draupadi made a trick. You know how, everyone knows the story? Draupadi said, she hated Kishaka, of course. She never wanted to have any relationship with him. But she said, come tonight to the dancing hall. It will be deserted at night. She came there and Bhima was there. Bhima pounded him into a shapeless lump of flesh. You know, Draupadi was married to the 5 Pandavas. And Kichaka, he was a rascal. He wanted to have sex with Draupadi. And he was a powerful kshatriya, so he kept advancing. She kept saying, no, please, I'm married. This is dishonorable. This is, you know, we can't do this. It's against Vedic. He wouldn't stop. So finally, she tricked him by saying, okay, she pretended to agree. And she said, come to the dancing hall at 8 p.m. So when she arrived, Bhima, You know, Bhima doesn't tolerate any nonsense. He pounded, just by his bare hands, he pounded it into a lump of flesh. He put his head into his body, and all his limbs were completely, he was a shapeless lump of flesh. So because of the purity, the Pandavas had to tolerate so much, you know, living. They were great, powerful heroes. They had to live as menial servants for the final year of the 14th year in exile. So because of this, Krishna said, I'm conquered by your love. I'll do whatever you... So Yudhishthira, of course, he didn't want to engage Krishna, but Krishna insisted. He came as peace messenger to the court of Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra's son, Duryodhana, was very much against the Pandavas. And Duryodhana actually tried to capture Krishna in the assembly, which is unheard of. You don't do that with what to speak of Krishna. So just before Duryodhana tried to do that, he invited Krishna to eat in his home. And Duryodhana was actually against the Pandavas. He was inimical towards pure devotees. So as Prabhupada says in the purport today, Krishna never agrees to accept anything from such a non-devotee. So he told Duryodhana, your food is contaminated with sin. I will not eat in your house. And where did he go? He went to the house of Vidura. And as we heard yesterday, then they were in ecstasy. Vidura's wife was just overwhelmed with ecstasy. She was feeding Krishna the peels. You know the story? Just the peel of the banana. And throwing the real banana. Krishna was relishing. He preferred that to the opulent feast. Duryodhana cooked a huge feast of sabjis and all that. Krishna wouldn't even look at it. He went to the house of Vidura, who is the son of a maidservant, and ate there in the house of Vidura. And the next day, Krishna came to the assembly and delivered Yudhishthira's message. Pandavas, please, will accept 5 villages because they are kshatriyas. They have to rule. That's their dharma. Duryodhana said, I will not give you enough land to upon which the head of a pin could fit. So Krishna realized that peace was impossible. And then Duryodhana, he ordered his men, he had 100 men waiting to capture Krishna. Krishna exhibited a partial universal form and blew everyone's mind. And Dhritarashtra, he begged Krishna, please, let me see this. He was blind from birth. Dhritarashtra was blind. And because he's actually a devotee inside, although involved in so many politics. So he begged Krishna, please, let me see this form. And Krishna said, I give you the eyes to see. And Krishna expanded into a huge form, and Lord Brahma was coming out of his head, and Lord Shiva was coming out of his arms. And it was just, everyone was, their mind was totally blown to see Krishna's power. So he went back to the Pandavas and said, now we have to prepare for war. And Arjuna, he didn't want to kill Bhishma. This is, again, the surrender of a pure devotee. Bhishmadev was so powerful. He's one of the 12 Mahajans. He's not only a great devotee, he's one of the 12 Mahajans. Bhishmadev, although very old, was the greatest warrior. No one could conquer him. When he began fighting with his arrows, he would kill thousands of men effortlessly. So Yudhishthira, he came to Krishna and said, what are we going to do? Bhishma is destroying our whole forces, but we don't want to kill him. He's our grandfather. When our father Pandu died, he raised us. We love him dearly. Krishna says, you have to do your duty. You have to kill him. So Arjuna was crying tears as he was pumping arrows. He was firing arrows. And Bhishma let himself be killed. He couldn't. He was the greatest warrior, actually. Bhishma was such a great warrior that Parashuram, the incarnation of Godhead as a warrior. You know the story of Parashuram?
Not with all details, but go ahead.
Parashu means chopper or axe. And Ram is the supreme personality of Godhead. He's Ram who carries the axe. When the Kshatriyas became deviant, he killed them he killed all the Kshatriyas of the whole earth 21 times. It's in the 9th canto. You can see a picture. That he's a Brahmin actually by birth, but he took up the warrior profession to chastise the deviant Kshatriyas. So it's described there in the 9th canto when he was attacking. His axe was moving at the speed of the mind. He was just mowing down thousands of kshatriyas as he was moving through. He was wearing a black deerskin and carrying an axe. And he just that one weapon, an axe, he killed all the warriors of the world. And Bhishmadev was so powerful that he fought against Parashuram to a standstill. Neither could defeat the other. Such is the power of Bhishma Deva. But Krishna arranged, why is a pure devotee fighting on the other side? Krishna arranged that even the greatest warrior, if he opposes Krishna's desire, he must fail. And Bhishma was happy to carry out the plan of the Lord.
It should finish up.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm getting a little carried away. Okay, we'll stop here. Are there any questions? Or
the two of you worked on the institute, the Bhaktivedanta?
In the 80s, I worked with Sadhavtuta.
Well, between the two of you, we won't ever get prasadam. It's very nice.
No, I'm sorry. Please. Yes, everyone can go now. I'm sorry. I went over time. If anyone has some questions, we're happy to. Well, anyone wants to go can go.
I just want to first because today came the first time when he took sannyas because he took from my body some prada, so he had ekananda.
It seems to be the case. It says he shaved off his sika.
He had ekananda.
Yeah, it must be ekananda.
Because when they tell him the Prabhu breaks it in Dandabandha Lila, he breaks in the tree.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, Vrindavan Das Thakur comments in Chaitanya Bhagavat. When they tell him the Prabhu show him the world, that what's the use of an ekananda? Let him make it the three danda. You know? And he breaks it into three portions and says that Mahaprabhu doesn't need this ekananda. Because through thought, word, and deed, he's Krishna conscious. So that breaking of the danda is so significant. We've been to that place, Danda Banda. Oof. It's powered by we can tell in the previous experience.
Where is it?
It's in close to Jagannath Puri, right?
Wow.